Praise the Lord, church. Happy 4th of July to all of you. We are so excited to be here today. You can be seated this morning. I know who I am. The world today is struggling. I think that's one of the struggles we have in our world, is people just don't know who they are anymore. They're trying to be anything and everything to anybody and everybody. And we'll talk about a little of that this morning. You can't make everybody happy. Did you know that? You can't please everyone. And I want to thank all of those that came out yesterday. We had a work day here, and we cut down a couple trees, and I got them all chopped up and shredded and such. And I want to thank all of the men and the sisters that came out yesterday and gave us a hand on that, and appreciate that. Thank you so very much. We're going to get into our Bible study lesson this morning. Now, today is July 4th, and I know a lot of you are going to be probably heading up to camp this afternoon. My wife and I will be leaving sometime this afternoon to get up there for the evening service and such. So I know you have a long day ahead of you, a lot of you. Some of you are just going to go home, have a burger or a hot dog, maybe a grilled cheese sandwich, and you're going to take a nap, which can be a struggle within itself. So I know we're going to be kind of going different directions, and I should have thought most of our pastoral, I think it's just Pastor Peter and myself are the only two that are left back here today. I'm not realizing that they had canceled Sunday school today. I could have come up with a different schedule for today. And so we could have just had a little bit of a condensed schedule. And we can still do that, because as executive, I can make a decision. So if I just stop at some point and say, let's all stand, that means that I've made a decision, okay? And we'll go with that. And I'm sure that you probably wouldn't mind on a holiday week like today getting out a little early. Anybody object to that? When I say early, that means, you know, we're not here till 12:30. We'll just see how things go, how executive I feel when I get to that point. How's that? Oh, I'm just supposed to teach here. That's right. I don't have anything else on my list here. That's all for you. You may or may not get a chance. We'll. Oh, Pastor Phil did a wonderful job on Wednesday evening, and I want to thank him. I think they're on their way up to camp, but I want to thank him. He spoke a Lord teach us to know you. And he talked about it's a lifetime process, that to get to know the Lord, to get to know God, it's a lifetime process of learning, of growing, and of changing. I like the statement that everything God touches, God changes. And I believe that as God touches humanity, as God touches my life should change if I allow God to touch it the way God desires to touch. Also, be humble through repentance. Talked about the importance of repentance. And be humble through repentance if you want to get to know the Lord. We need to be humble through repentance. And then he says, be aware of your framework or your life experiences. Every one of us in here, I was talking with a brother this past week, and we had got to talking about being teachable and such. And every one of us in here, everything we learn in life, we learn from someone else. I began to think about that, about how the teaching process goes, is from very early in life, as young babies, we begin to teach them even at a young age that they don't comprehend or they don't understand. But as you feed them and as you diaper them and as you spend time with them, you are slowly teaching them through actions. Sometimes what we learn, and a lot of what we learn, isn't necessary through verbal communication, but it's watching other people. I learned how to ride a bike basically by watching other people, watching my brother. How does he do it? And my dad got out one day in the old alley there in Shawano when I was probably 45 years old, and put me on this bike and began to push me down the alley. And I don't ever remember just crashing. Some kids, you know, they just crash. I don't ever remember crashing, but I remember jumping off quite fast. What do they call that? Dismounting. I was very quick at dismounting my bike. Now, I had the beatest My bike was the most beat up bike in the neighborhood because I couldn't steer, Brother Bronker. I don't know what it was about being able to pedal and turn at the same time, but I couldn't do it. So I'd come up to a curb or a turn, and I'd just bail. I'd let my bike crash. I'd get it up, point it in the direction I wanted to go, and I'd get on it, and I'd pedal. It took me a little while, but by the end of the summer, I was learning to negotiate curves. My bike didn't fare so well, but nevertheless. So we learn, and no one is completely self-taught. You hear that a lot? Well, I taught myself. Really? You sure you didn't observe someone else? I thought about this, you know, well, I taught myself to tie my shoes. How do you know how to tie your shoes without looking at a tied shoe? What does that mean? These are things that we look at. Now, these have spiritual applications. So within the process of learning, we all develop differently. The sad part about the world we live in today, church, is everybody wants everyone to be the same. We all want to be the same. Unfortunately, we're never going to all be the same. We're not going to all have the same. No matter how much we legislate, we can't make everybody equal because we are all different. Now, there are some things you can make equal. But there are a lot of things you can't because how I process something, how I process and think something through is going to be much different. I mean, husbands and wives, we know this. We know this. Because when we think about snowblower or lawnmower, we tell the wives our lawnmower broke, going to have to get a new lawnmower. Your wife's looking at your old lawnmower thinking you're going to replace it with exactly the same thing that you have. And you're thinking a 32-horsepower ZTR that can mow grass at 28 miles an hour. It's got headlights, taillights, brake lights, turn signals. It's got a trailer hookup on it. It's got plug-ins for your cell phone and for, you know, so you've got a full LED display dash. She's thinking a couple hundred bucks at the hardware store, and you're thinking payments for 12 years at the implement dealer. This is how processing life, how we're different, and this is why humanity, God built us this way. God didn't build me to be just like Ben Smith. God built us, and we develop and we learn differently. We see things different, period. How I see things will not be the same way that you see things. How I see people will not be the same way that you see people. Why? Because we have different experiences or we have learned things differently in life. So when we look at some of the characteristics, I said we're going to talk about characteristics of teachable people. So we talked about biblical principles. We should all follow our lives according to biblical principle. If everyone based their life upon biblical principles, we wouldn't have any need for all of the prisons and the jails and all of this, all the whole entire judicial system that we have. All of Israel operated on one judge. Think about that. I don't know how many millions of them there were, but there was a time there was one judge. But everybody knew because everybody was operating off of the same principles because they had been taught that. So we have biblical principles, personal convictions. We talked about biblical convictions versus personal convictions, as well as personal preferences. And we discussed the differences. a lot of things that I have as far as preference is a preference. It's maybe not a biblical conviction, but it's a preference. And as pastor, sometimes I have the authority, I guess, to exercise a preference. One of my preferences is that when our men get up here to behind the pulpit to preach, that they're clean shaven. That's just a preference. Are we going to argue with that? As Bishop says, you can argue with that, but you have the right to be wrong. So Brother Peter, he can argue with me that I'm not going to take, that's not my conviction, but it's my preference. So he can argue with it, and he just won't get put on the schedule. Now, Peter's sitting here. I can pick on Peter because he's back there. We've laughed about this and joked about this. But I can promise you, he knows what my preference is. So Wednesday night when he gets up here, he's going to look just because of, he understands that. Now, that's not a conviction, and that's not a biblical principle. You follow what I'm saying here? So when we look at into, we're going to look into this morning a few biblical principled, we're going to look into the side of biblical principles and how they apply to us as being teachable. Now we're reading from our series, our passage, and this is a part of this passage doesn't make sense per se. You may ask, you know, that's a long passage. It doesn't quite fit in with all of everything about teachability, but there's a reason that I've selected the entire passage, because as we leave our study on teachability, we're going to go in and we're going to learn about how Jesus taught. And one of the methods that Jesus taught was he used parables. And we're going to talk about parables, so we're going to go in. So this is kind of leading us into our next aspect of this. So we're reading from Luke chapter 11. Verses starting in verse 1 in the NIV. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So the disciples wanted, they're like, "We don't know how to do this. We want to learn how to do this. So Lord, will you teach us just as John taught his disciples?" And he said unto them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, that your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." And Jesus said unto them, and then he goes into somewhat of a parable. He said unto them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.'" So basically what is happening is a man has company that stops by on their way to camp. They didn't expect him to stop by, and they just stop by, and he's like, "I got no groceries in the house. It's the 4th of July. Everything's closed." So he goes to his neighbor and says, "Hey, do you have some extra loaves of bread?" And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked. My kids are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives, and one who seeks finds, and one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead, or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Lord, teach us. Teach us. In this whole passage, God is actually exposing a little bit more of himself to us. It's a teachable moment. And I love how Jesus used those teachable moments. I think teachability is perhaps the single most important factor on whether or not we grow up in God. What I mean is when I say someone is teachable is that there's not only a hunger for Jesus Christ and to grow in him, but there's also a humble willingness to do anything necessary to see that happen. I can't emphasize enough how vital this is to our ability to grow in Christ. I'd go as far to say that if you are not a teachable person, then you will never see the significant growth in your walk with God. And if you're not a teachable person, I firmly believe that your chances of making it to heaven become slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. Because you have to be taught. You have to be taught. So we're going to talk today. I want to share about the importance. We talked about some of the attributes, if I could say that, characteristics of what is a teachable spirit. So we're going to start off with meekness. Today I want to share the importance of having a meek or teachable spirit. Bible, Jesus was talking on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and he says, "Blessed are the meek." What Jesus was saying here is, "Blessed are the teachable, for they shall inherit the earth." Because meek people are teachable people. They spend time seeking the Lord to receive guidance and direction for their lives and to know his will for their lives. We read in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 18, "For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word, who has marked his word and heard it?" We follow up in Proverbs 16:3, "Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established." We're laying a pattern, a groundwork. Teachable people continually rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Why do you feel that God has given us the power of the Holy Ghost? So many times as apostolic, we feel that the Holy Ghost, Brother Jay, is just for salvation. That's what we push that. And that is true. But there's so much more to it. So much more to it. The Holy Spirit is a guide. It's a teacher. It's an internal check system that God has given to us. Jesus says himself in John 16:3, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Teachable people. Meekness are both hearers and doers of the word of God. Jesus said himself in Matthew chapter 7, 24 and 25, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." This is where teaching becomes so important, because it's not just teaching someone. We live in a world where people like to tell other people how to do things, but they don't want to do them themselves. Politics is full of that. I love it how we can have all of these climate save the planet seminars, big conferences, and all over the world, and everybody that shows up there has to have their own limousine to get around. you read some of that stuff going on in Iceland when they had that summit? They shipped, I don't know how many thousands, hundreds of limousines to the island of Iceland so all of these bigwigs could all show up in their limousine. I don't know that I've ever been in a limousine. They fly there in their private jets, saving the planet, getting in a limousine. How about this? How about you row a boat? You get out of your boat, you get on a bicycle, and you pedal to the conference. Then I will sit down and start to listen to what you got to say. But you see, you go home to one of your 7 or 8 different mansions scattered all over the globe. You see, what they're doing is they're saying, do as I say. Don't do as I do. And what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall. Why? Because he was a wise man and he did what he said he was going to do. Pastor Phil spoke of this very eloquently on Wednesday evening, and I just left this portion in my notes because we're going to speak on it a little differently because we're different. But teachable people, another characteristic, another trait, another attribute of people that are teachable is, number one, we just talked about people being meek, repentant. Teachable people have repentant hearts. Teachable people have short accounts with God. How many of you have ever, we all know people that keep grudges. They don't ever forget. They don't want to forget. They don't want you to forget. They want you to know that you offended me and I'm going to continually remind you of your offense. We talked about this not too long ago. Teachable people have repentant hearts. They keep short accounts with God. This is a very critical key. This is a very critical key to maintaining intimacy with God. Hear me now. Husbands, you want to maintain intimacy with your wife. Wives, you want to maintain intimacy with your husband. Keep a short account. The worst thing you can do is drag it up at the end of the day as you're crawling into bed. Well, how was your day? Well, you know how my day went. What do you mean? That lawnmower? We can use the same story over and over, can't we? I thought we were just going to spend $200. And we go into this. You see, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that when I boo-boo and I go to God with my boo-boo and say, Lord, forgive me. He forgives me and forgets about it. How many of you have gone to God about the same thing numerous times, and finally God looks at you or God speaks to you and say, excuse me here. What are you talking about? Well, Lord, you know what I did yesterday. No, I don't know what you did yesterday. Because, you see, I went to the Lord. I had a forgiving heart. I wanted God to forgive me. God forgives me. I repent. God forgives me. And God forgets about it. So teachable people have repentant hearts. This is important to maintain that intimacy with God. And if you want to consistently hear God's voice and keep a sensitive conscience and a sensitive spirit, keep a repentant heart. When people say, oh, I haven't heard from God in a long time. Well, are you repenting every day? Are you talking to God about your problems? Are you approaching God? Are you being honest with God? If you got an issue with your neighbor, you don't like your neighbor, or you've offended your neighbor, or you've done something to make your neighbor aggravated at you, you're going to probably avoid them. And we do the same thing with God. We avoid God. We're supposed to be his children. It's very much family, isn't it? Have you ever had that as a teenager? Boy, there are times I knew I did something wrong, and when I come home, this was the last person I wanted to see when I walked in the door, because I knew. Our relationship with God is very much the same way. If you want to hear God's voice, you have to have a sensitive conscience, a sensitive spirit, and you have to have a repentant heart. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if we confess, that's where doing comes in. That's our responsibility. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. This is what I love. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're not fully clean until your zest fully clean. This is what it's saying right here. I'm not fully clean until I confess my sins. And when I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. You say, why do I have to confess my sins to God? Because when we sin against God. People with a teachable spirit enjoy a healthy relationship with other people. Boy, we've over the years, our bishop, our family, I guess, in ministry, we've seen our share of, well, grumpy Christians. A teachable spirit enjoys a healthy relationship with others. If you are teachable, you're not always defensive when others say things to us. I could spend a long time on this. I listened to a little comedy routine. I don't even know who the guy was, but he was talking about offenses. Boy, everybody today gets so offended, don't they? People, you hear that, I'm offended. What does that even mean? Think about it. I'm offended. Okay, so you're offended. Are you not going to eat anymore? Are you not going to ever breathe? You're going to stop breathing? What does it mean when you say, I'm offended? We're not going to get into all of that, but we will, if we're teachable, and not always defensive when others say things to us that we don't like or we disagree with, we will be able to develop healthy relationships with others. Having good friendships, listen to me, having good friendships is a byproduct. It's a byproduct of meekness, humility, and teachability. What I'm saying here is if you are a meek person, if you are a humble person, if you are a teachable person, one of the byproducts of that is you probably have a lot of good friendships. You wonder, maybe I don't have any friends. Most of the time in today's society, if we say I don't have any friends, we're looking at society as the problem. Because society is always the problem. I don't have a problem. I just say what I think. And you have to accept me for that. No, I don't. If Brother Jay is always saying what he thinks to me, and he's always critical of me, and he doesn't like me, then he's not going to come to my house for ribs. He will probably never know that. But you see, this is how real life works. I can love him, and in that love, I can tolerate him. But it doesn't mean that I have to go and always feel like I'm obligated to have dinner with him. But you see, we can avoid all of that if we are meek in our spirits. If I show meekness and he's showing meekness, I'm showing humility and he's showing humility, then the byproduct of that is we can get together and have ribs and have a fun, good time. So humility and being teachable go hand in hand. You see, this is so vital that we allow Christ to do a work of change in our hearts and our lives so that we can grow in humility and Christ-like character, thus becoming more teachable. Because trust me, the harder the lessons become, the more we grow in God, the harder the lessons are going to become, thus the more difficult it's going to be teachable. Did you get that? That's why it's important that we learn this at a very elementary level. If you're wondering why you're not growing in God, growing in ministry, listen, here's a very, very critical key. The Bible says that Moses was the most humble man on earth. We read that in Numbers 12:3. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Being humble and having a teachable, being meek is a vital key to living a life of happiness in God's kingdom. Can I get an amen on that? Psalms 25:9, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. But when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. So a teachable person is a humble person. A teachable person studies God's word. I have a lot of scripture here this morning. I'm going to put this Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 through 20. You can put that if you're taking notes. I would like to read Acts 17:11. And those in Berea were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The church in Berea was a Bible study, Bible-rooting church. They studied the scripture. They wanted to find out. If we're supposed to be doing something we're not doing, let's get into the Word of God and find out. A teachable person is an attentive person. Listen to me, Isaiah 51:1. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Matthew 13:16-17, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, but to hear what you hear and did not hear it. A teachable person seeks after God, and truth is truth. Understand something, a teachable person seeks after truth. This is a huge, huge point. Ephesians 4:21, You have heard about Jesus, and you have learned the truth that comes from him. One of the greatest characteristics of teachability is found in this simple but powerful principle, and that is seeking after truth. Who is the truth? What did Jesus say? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's because Jesus is the truth. He's always going to tell you the truth. His word is the truth. The Lord is never, ever going to deceive you. He's never going to tempt you. You see, his word, the Bible is his word. The Bible is truth. You can read in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You can put that in your notes. Nothing changes until you know the face of truth. And that truth is found in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches, listen, the Bible teaches that personal change starts with truth. Ephesians 4:21, and truth sets you free. You have heard about Jesus. You have learned the truth that comes from him. I just want to take a minute here. We're getting close to our quarter two. I'm just going to go a little further because we're making an executive decision right now, okay? Personal change. I've heard it over my whole life that change is all about willpower. You ever heard that? Well, if you want to change, you got to have the willpower. You got to have the willpower. I'm no longer sure that that's completely true. Okay? I think that the secret to personal change is not wrapped around a willpower. But the secret to personal change is to seek and to know and thus face the truth in your life. So if you want to change, you must know and face the truth about yourself, about your humanity, your personal character, your nature. We need to face the truth about our weaknesses, our relationships, our success, our failures, our past, our present, and our future. So why is it necessary to learn the truth before anything else can change in your life? Just listen to me very closely here. Behind every self-defeating habit in our lives, behind every issue that we deal with, that we struggle with, is a lie that we believe. You ever struggle? I mean, we all as Christians struggle with identity. We sang the song, I Know Who I Am. I know who I am. Do we really? Do we really? We struggle with that because we fall short all the time. So behind every self-defeating issue or habit or struggle in our lives, there's a lie that the enemy is feeding to us. If you're in debt, it might be because of some of the lies that you've listened to. I know people that just feel like for whatever reason they can spend their way out of debt. Getting cheaper interest credit cards don't save you anything. Because at some point in time that cheap interest expires. I told a story about buying a lawnmower at Sears. 0% interest for 90 days. I buy the lawnmower and I start making minimum payments, and I figured out I was going to take longer to pay for my lawnmower than it would take to pay for my house. But you see, we believe some of these lies. But when the truth, what about relationships? What about the things you say to yourself about yourself? The way that we think about our past, what we hear on social media or television, or we read in books, we get all of these. The bookshelves are full of self-help books, but very few of their self-help books focus on the real issue, and that is facing truth in our lives. If we consistently listen to what voices around us are saying, we will find in our lives that we'll begin to build on a foundation of lies, misconceptions, deceptions, and half-truths, and thus we will never change. All the willpower in the world won't get you there. Sometimes, folks, we have to look at ourselves squarely in the mirror, and we have to face the truth. What God tells you is always going to be the truth. So if God says, you know what? Yeah. You're kind of a deceiver. You're kind of a Jacob. If it comes from God, you better do something about it. Facing the truth. God's word shows you how to get back to the life that you were created to live. And it shows you how to stay on God's path. That's why it's so important, church, for us to have a daily quiet time in the Word of God. Nothing will change until we get truth in our hearts. You see, this goes all the way back to the book, it goes all the way back to the month of January. We talked about resetting our hearts, resetting our minds, resetting our bodies. We want to be teachable. We want to be teachable, Brother Caskey, then we need to seek after truth. So let's stand this morning. As our musicians can come, we're going to just do things different. We made an executive decision. I can do that. Is everyone okay with that? If you're not, Spanish will be starting, Voices will be starting at 1, and African International, Brother Claude, will be preaching at 5. You're welcome to stay here all day long. And you can get as much church as you want to get. You can stay here until 7 o'clock and close the building. We're good with that. But for right now, am I teachable? Am I willing to face truth in my life? No matter what, sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth really hurts. Sometimes we have to deal with it. We have to face it. So as we open up this altar this morning, What about it? Someone's facing the truth. I have been there. I know what truth feels like. Oh. So as our musicians, I know we're making an executive change here. And they're good. They're going to roll right with this. So as we open up this altar this morning, I just want to invite you to spend a few moments with God. Say, God, I want to face the truth in my life. I want to surrender. I want to surrender my life. Lord, bless you as you come.
God Almighty.
would just all stand this morning. We do have some giving options. I think we know all of those by now. Thank you for your support over the last year. Also, family camp starts today, tonight. We have a Purpose Institute graduation that starts, I believe, at 6 o'clock. We have a number of folks from Calvary that are graduating tonight. So we'll be after service. If you're going to be at camp at our campsite, I think we're 19 or 21. I'm not for sure. You'll find us. We're going to have Frito boats for celebrating the graduates and such. So if you're up there at camp, feel free to stop by. The office here will be closed this week because all of our staff will be up at camp. I encourage our staff. Actually, all of our pastoral staff, I think, except for Brother Peter, is on a district committee of some sorts. So they're already up there getting things set up, getting things ready to go for camp. But Brother Peter will be preaching on Wednesday evening. So excited for that. And next week, we have Brother Morton Buster that will be here. He'll be speaking at our 10 a.m. and our 11 a.m. service. So very excited about that. Today is the 4th of July. And we're going to be leaving here, and some of you are going to be going celebrating with family. Some of you are going to be traveling. So before we leave, let's just pray that God grants us a great day, a blessed and awesome week. And so, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one of my brothers and sisters that are here. I pray, God, that you would bless us this day and this Independence Day, this 4th of July. There'll be celebrations going on all across the world or all across our country. And, Lord, also every one of our homes, our families, everyone celebrates differently, but we ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon us. If we're traveling today, keep us safe as we travel. If we're having fun with family, keep us safe. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word that we've had this morning, God. We pray, God, help us to be humble. Help us to be meek. Help us, Lord, to be repentant. And, Lord, always seek after the truth in our lives. And, God, with that, Lord, is a recipe for teachability. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. God bless you. We're going to be done. How's that? We executive decisioned. God bless you. If you're going to camp, drive safe. Careful of all the traffic and all of that. Have a blessed day.